Hallelujah. I thank God on today. Amen. Amen for every song. Amen for every song. Amen. I hope y'all were getting what y'all needed. Hallelujah. 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 I settled on this title. I know what God wants. I just want to lift up the name of Jesus. I want to talk about how good he is. Amen. And just for the title, God, I have life, death, and resurrection, but I just know that God is good. I just want him to save somebody today. I want him to deliver somebody. Hallelujah. And I don't want to assume, you know, I think maybe 10 years ago, maybe even 20 years ago, I would have just assumed that everybody knows what Easter is all about. But these days, I don't even want to assume that we even understand what the resurrection is, or that we even understand why it's important, or that we even really understand what Jesus does. Because now so many churches, so many people are talking about either self-help or, you know, something just to get you out of your circumstance or out of your situations, but not really lifting up the name of Jesus, not talking about how he died for our sins, not talking about how he rose on the third day, not talking about how judgment is going to come in the last days and how we need to be prepared for that. You know, a lot of times we think that church and Jesus is like a magic genie just to make our life right here and the right now better. But he's so much more. He's so much bigger than that. And when I read my Bible, the Bible is just his story, it's history. And over again, God just demonstrates from one cycle to the next, the cycle of sin and deliverance, the cycle of people messing up and God stepping in to save. And the same thing that he did back then, he is trying to do right now. He's trying to step in and save somebody. He's trying to step in and save somebody. And just like back then, all his people, God's people, were waiting on a deliverer. Some of us in this room right now are waiting on a deliverer. We want our lives to be better. We want somebody to step in and save us. We want the seasons to change. We want cycles to end. We're waiting on a deliverer. But just like back then, deliverance might not look how you think it was going to look or how you think it's supposed to look. They were waiting. God's people were waiting on a Messiah. But when he came, he didn't look like what they thought he was going to look like. They thought he was going to come as a military leader. They thought that he was going to overthrow the Romans. He thought that, you know, all the Jews were going to rise to the top and everything was going to be better. That's what they thought it was going to be, but he didn't come like that. He came born in a manger. He came running from his life. He came born into a poor family. He came born in a city, but like he was from a city, Nazareth, that they said nothing good could come from. Like he looked nothing like the king, like the Messiah they thought he was going to look like. And I want to tell you that God is willing to save you right now, but it might not look like what you think it's going to look like or it's supposed to look like. You might think, God, well, if you real, you're going to come in and you're going to give me a job. Or if you real, you're going to come in and give me a spot. Or if you real, you're going to come in and change my circumstance. But when he comes, it might not look like that. He might just come and say, sis, I want to deal with your heart.
Right.
He might just say, bro, I want to deal with your trauma. I want to deal with your pain. I want to teach you how to forgive. I want to teach you how to let go. Right? Your situation, your job might not change, but your heart might change. Your relationship might not change right off. Hallelujah. But your mind and your way of thinking might change. That's what he's come to do.
Hallelujah.
To not only give you, when I was playing a song in pre-service, it said it's all right to live, right? It's all right to live. It's all right to have life, rather. He said, but I want you to live. God came to give life, and not just that. He came to give it more abundantly. Everything God does, his actions are always on time. When we read the word, God didn't always move right when they thought he should move. A lot of times it was at the last moment. It was at the last minute because he's trying to test your faith. He's trying to test your faith. He's trying to see if you want me like you really say you want me. Or do you just want my blessing? Do you just want my blessing or do you want me? When I read the word, he was always on time. He didn't stop Daniel from going to the lion's den. He let him get in there first.
Right.
He let the fire get hot first, and then I'm going to rescue you. He could have stopped him from going in the first place.
Amen.
But sometimes God lets you get in it. Because when everything is going good, you don't realize that you need a savior.
Amen.
You don't realize that you need a savior. Sometimes he lets you get in it before he acts. But whenever he moves, whenever he acts, you can realize, you need to know that it's always going to be on time. He cared then and he cares now. He cared then and he cares now. He's the same God. He's the same God. All of history testifies about him. All of history testifies about him. He is the bread of life. When I read to you out of John 6, when Jesus say, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, right? He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus is making a reference to what he did in the Old Testament when God sent bread from heaven. Jesus is saying, I am your provider. He's saying, I can open up the windows of heaven. I can provide for you. And I'm not just talking about material provision. I'm talking about he has whatever it is that you need. And he's telling you that when you come to me, I am the bread of life. When you come to me, you'll never hunger again. You'll never want for the same things that you thought that you had to have that you couldn't live without. He says, if you come to me like you told the woman at the well, you don't know who you're talking to. If you knew who was offering you this water, you would never thirst again. All the things that you're thirsty for in your life, all the things that you're hungering for in your life, they can't satisfy you like Jesus can. Lord, I thank you. He's always on time. And I got to tell y'all that I know that sometimes we struggle and we have doubts. We have doubts about God. We have doubts about God. And I want y'all to know that those doubts hurt God. Not like how man thinks. Not how man thinks when he gets angry with us for doubting him. It pains him because, you know, when you know, like if you're a parent and you love your child, to know that your child would think that you don't love them, right? That doesn't make you angry. That hurts you because why would you think this way about me? Like more than anything,
hey.
I love you. So how much more do you think God feels when we doubt him, knowing how much he loves us? Like we were singing that song, like all those things. He went to Calvary. They hung him. They stretched him, right? That's love. John 3:16 tells us it's love. That he loved the whole world, that he would give his son for us. And so it's two things. I want to make sure that we understand what Easter is all about. I want to start in John 11. And y'all can remain seated. I want to start in John 11 with the 37th verse. And I'm going to read through 44. And these verses are talking about Lazarus. If you know anything, if you know your Bible, you know that Lazarus was raised from the dead. But I'm picking up the story. I'm reading the story when Lazarus was in the tomb and they wondering where Jesus was at. At 37, it says, and some of them said, right? So Jesus comes on the scene. Lazarus has been in the grave. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused even this man should not have died? They are saying, I've seen Jesus do all of these miracles, and I know that Mary and Martha, these are his girls, and Lazarus was his friend. Why didn't Jesus just heal him and stop him from dying in the first place? And when Jesus heard what they saying, the 38th verse says that Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. I want y'all to know that it pained Jesus to let Lazarus die. It pained Jesus to see Lazarus' sisters mourning over him. It pained Jesus to see all of that. I don't want you to think that God is looking at everything that is happening in this world and thinking it don't matter. I don't want you to think that he's looking at you, sis. He's looking at you and he don't care. Hallelujah. And that he doesn't care about your father. I don't want you to think he's looking at you and he don't care about your girls. No, he's looking at some of y'all and he don't care about your situation. No, God is looking at that and it hurts him. He's groaning on the inside. Right? He's groaning on the inside. He's seen the dead things in our life and it's paining him. It saddens him. Hallelujah. The word says when he got news of Lazarus, the word says that Jesus cried. The word says that he wept. It wasn't that he was just like he didn't have any feelings. The word says that he cried. But I tell you, God had a bigger plan. God knew that the mourning and the suffering was only for a night. That there was going to come a morning. When Lazarus was going to get up.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing for us. He's looking and he sees what we're going through. But God is trying to let somebody in here know that that thing is temporary. And you might be saying, Pastor, that sounds real good. But I've been in this thing for 5 years. I've been in this thing for 6 years. That's the same thing the woman with the issue of blood was saying. But when it was her day,
Amen. It
was her day. And then somebody in here is going to have a day one day.
Yes, thank you.
Lord, I thank you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Remember I told you, whatever he does, it's always going to be on time.
Yes, yes.
He knows exactly what it takes to save.
Yes.
Exactly what it takes to save. And the only thing that he requires is faith in him.
Yes.
John 6 and 35, I read to you. It says, whoever shall believe on me, whoever shall believe in me shall never thirst. Shall never thirst again. Lord, I thank you. Jesus walked up to Lazarus' tomb and he said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. 4 days. 4 days of mourning. 4 days of thinking your brother's dead. 4 days of wondering where God was. 4 days of saying, God, why did you let this happen? 4 days of doubts. 4 days of anger. 4 days of murmuring. And yet God still shows up in his time and says, roll the stone away. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou would believe, have I not told you that if you would believe, if you would believe somebody, if you would believe, thou shalt see the glory of God. Then they took the stone away from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Now, y'all notice, I ain't read nothing to you about what Jesus said to the Father. Jesus walks up on the tomb and says, God, thank you that you heard me. Why are you saying that? Because Jesus was already talking on their behalf before they knew that he was even talking to the Father. He's talking to God on your behalf today.
Yes, right.
Before you even thought, while you still in your doubt,
amen.
While you still in your fear,
yes.
While you still in your sin, he's already talking to the Father on your behalf. Saying, God, work it out on their behalf.
Yeah.
Give them a sign. Yeah. Give them a touch. Send somebody to give them a word.
Yeah.
Show them something. Make them remember what was already said. Make them remember what was already spoken.
Right.
So that when I do get there, when I do arrive at the tomb, they'll be ready.
Yeah.
Jesus shows up on the scene. Right? He had been gone 4 days. He shows up on the scene. Instead of doubting, Martha should have been praising. Because regardless of whether he had been in there for 4 days, regardless of whether you've been through it for 10 years, when Jesus shows up, it's time to praise him. It's time to praise him. Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, thank you, Father. I thank you that you heard me. And he says, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because the people... He says, but because the people which stand by, I said it, that they might believe that thou hast sent me. Right? Jesus so many times says and does things. How many times has Jesus tried to reaffirm your commitment? How many times has he tried to ease your doubts? How many times has he sent somebody when you knew it was nobody but him? How many times has he had somebody step in to make a way for you when you didn't know how you was going to make it? He does that so that we would believe that God the Father sent him to do what he did, which was die for our sins, that we would believe in him. And when he said these things to the Father, this is the 43rd verse, and when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And so many times I've heard other preachers preach this message, and they say he had to say Lazarus by name, because if he had just said, get up, everybody in the graveyard would have got up. Everybody in the graveyard would have got up, but he calls Lazarus by name, and that's important because he's calling somebody in here by name today. He's calling somebody in here by name today, and he's saying, get up out your mess. Get up out your depression. Get up out your sin. And he's calling you by name because the things that have me dead and bound might not be the same thing that has him dead and bound.
Amen.
And when it's his time, it might not be my time.
Amen.
So when he calls you by name, you can't worry about whether he calling somebody else or who else is going to go with you. If today is your day. If today is your day to be resurrected, if today is your day to get up out of something, if today is your day to be changed,
yes, Lord. Oh, come on now.
You got to be listening for your name. Lord, I thank you. And the word says when he calls Lazarus forth, that the dead came forth, bound head and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Lord, I thank you. When they's talking about grave clothes, y'all need to understand back then, they didn't even wrap you in a suit. You was wrapped up in like cloth. You was wrapped up almost like a mummy. When Lazarus got out the tomb, there was still evidence that he was actually dead. This wasn't no accidental death like they thought he was dead and he was asleep. No, they took the time to wrap this man. And grave clothes, he was headed. See, some, I don't know why this word is good to me. I don't know why it's not good to y'all. Some of y'all are wrapped up in grave clothes. You are on your way to the grave. Sin and hell. You're wrapped up. But when Jesus calls your name, he takes those grave clothes off. Read Revelation. You get a new robe. You get a new name. He changes you. So not only did he cause Lazarus forth, he said, take off all them clothes that represent the death and the sin that you was walking in. He said, take those things off of him, loose him, and let him go. So many people believed on Jesus when they saw Lazarus walk out of their tomb. Somebody in this world is going to believe when they see you walk out of your tomb. When they see you walk away from the things that you used to do. When they see your life change. When they see the hand of God on your life. Something more powerful than any word I can preach from this pulpit is your life when it's touched by God. That carries more weight than any sermon a preacher can preach. When they see you and they knew how you used to be and how you are now. When they see that you no longer walking in them grave clothes, but that you got a new robe and a new name, that you've been changed. They were saying, man, I thought Alma Bear was dead and gone. I thought Dee was dead and buried. I thought Brother Marcus was dead and buried. I watched him for 4 years. I watched him for 5 years. He'd been that way his whole life. And then one day, this man just changed. This man just changed. That's more powerful than any sermon I can preach. Do you know the Easter story? Not only did Jesus raise from the dead, he made himself visible and known He says it's not enough that when they go to the tomb, they see the tomb empty. No, I have to make myself known so that they know that I am alive again.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they can just say somebody stole the body. When Jesus saves you, when you get up out the grave, you have to make yourself known. You have to announce it to the world that I'm no longer dead. I am alive. Lord, I thank you. To be resurrected, you have to tap into the resurrected one. But so many times we live in patterns of unfamiliarity. What do you mean, Pastor? Like we live, right? We live like we unfamiliar with the hand of God. Y'all know when God is moving, you know you should have been dead in that car accident. You know you should have had the STD. You know you should have had AIDS. You know you should have been shot and killed. You know you should have been incarcerated. Hallelujah. You know it. And even in all of those things, how good is God that he can save in the jail? That if you do have the disease, that has nothing to do with your salvation. How good is God that even if you get AIDS or die from it, God can still save if only you would believe.
Amen.
Because healing goes past this life into the next. That's the resurrection part. That's what makes the Easter story so important. Not that Jesus just lived, not that Jesus just died, but in all those things, he has control over both. He has control over life and death. That this is not the end. He's trying to show us through the resurrection story that we have nothing to be afraid of. What can take me out of the hand of God? Not life, not death. Not trial, not tribulation, not pain, not suffering, nothing. Nothing can separate me, nothing. Not disease, not war, not famine, not lack, not nothing. Nothing. But we live like we don't know that God is the one doing this thing. Like we don't see the evidence surrounding us. The Easter story is found in John chapter 20. It says that early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, and the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." How many of y'all feel like y'all don't know where God is in your mess? You in a graveyard, and you like, where is Jesus? He's risen. He's on the right hand. He's sitting on the right hand of God with all power. He's sitting on the right hand of God in all power. And you might be saying, why doesn't he make himself known to me? And my question to you is, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe he's sitting on the right hand? Do you believe that he cares about you? Do you believe that he has a plan for your life? Do you believe that you have a purpose? What's the purpose in God saving you if you're not going to do nothing with the life that he's giving you? You got to believe that he got a purpose. He got a reason for you being here. I'm telling you, I searched. Like the song say, I've looked all over. Couldn't find nobody great. I've literally, when I was in college, I sat in the library reading every book I could find to try to find an answer. And nothing ever made sense till I started reading about Jesus. Nothing ever made sense. I didn't want to be reincarnated. I didn't want to come back and keep doing it all over again. I didn't want to serve Allah, a God who didn't care about what happens down here. A God that you can't talk to Allah. You can pray to him, but he ain't going to talk back. Lord, I thank you. This is the only thing. This is the only personable God. This is the only God that is willing to come sit with you. This is the only God who says, I will come and I and my Father will abide. Hallelujah. This is the only God who says, I will come and live on the inside of you, that I will be a comforter to you. This is the only person. Muhammad never claimed to be God. Jesus is making claims that no other man in history made. And he made himself known through credible witnesses that it was passed down from century to century that these things occurred. I'm speaking history to y'all. Facts. Do you believe? She ran and found Peter. They've taken the Lord's body. We don't know where they put him. Peter and the other disciples started out running from the tomb. Some of us still running to the graveyard. Still releasing balloons. Still placing flowers. If they was a believer just like Jesus, they not there. They gone. You can run to the tomb as fast as you can. But if you believe, you know that he's not there. The things that this word that I'm reading that it said Jesus is doing, I need y'all to understand that he made these things known to his disciples. They just didn't understand them. This wasn't a shock. Jesus told them, I'm going to die. I'm going to prepare a place for you, right? But I'm going to return. He told them, I'm going somewhere, right? I'm going somewhere. They was asking, well, where you go? He said, you know where I'm going. All those things, eat your word. He tried to tell them so many times that he wasn't going to be with them always, that he was going to go and send a comforter. They ran to the tomb. John got there first. He outreached Peter. He outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. He was scared. He got there and he started peeking around and ducking, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter, when he arrived, he went inside. Normal Peter, he rushes in. He noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that covers Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. See, some of us are waiting for somebody else to go in first. Some of us are waiting for somebody else to go in first. To give us the courage to go in and see that Jesus is resurrected, that he's no longer there. We need somebody else to, like, we get there, but then we stop because we're afraid of what we're going to find. Some of y'all don't want to live for God because you're afraid what you're going to find on the other side, because you can't understand it, because you want to be in control, because you want it to make sense. I don't care what you do. To understand the power of God, it ain't going to always make sense to you. It's going to be miraculous. It's going to be awe-inspiring. It's not going to make sense all the time. Peter runs in, then John goes in. He needed somebody else to go in for him. Lord, I thank you. It says, then when the disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, he saw. And he believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that Jesus said, I must rise from the dead. For the first time, Jesus had told them, I'm going to die, y'all, but I'm going to raise again. But when somebody telling you that, you're like, what? That don't make no sense. But not until the stone gets rolled away. And that's what I need y'all to understand. Sometimes the things you go through are made for you to believe. Not that God wants you to go through this suffering. That was never his plan. Not that God wants you to go to hell. Hell was not made for you. But in order to get you to believe, God has to show you what the alternative is. He's like, I want to save you. I want to deliver you. I want you to be with me in eternity. But you're not going to believe that that place exists until you realize how sinful this world is and that I'm the only way out. So if you don't just want to believe and take my word for it, then experience it. Experience what happens when you fornicate. Experience what happens when you steal. Experience what happens when you lie. Experience what happens when you surround yourself with people that don't love God. Experience. And then after you experience, tell me if my yoke is not easy and if my burden is not light. Amen. See, for some of y'all, it don't hurt bad enough yet. How much you got to go through? How much you got to go through before you realize that you need a way out? Lord, I thank you. I ain't got to go to work tomorrow, so I'm about to preach this word. Oh, hallelujah. Hope y'all ain't tired. It's good for me. Lord, I thank you. It says that they believed and then they went home. They believed, they saw that he was gone, and then they went home. They left Mary standing outside the tomb. She was crying. She was weeping. She stooped and looked in. And when she stooped and looked in, she saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other one sitting at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. The angel said unto Mary, "Dear woman, why are you crying?" The angels asked her, "Because they had taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave, and she saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. That's some of us. We like, okay, Peter believed, John believed, we still in the graveyard. We like, but they just went home, like, but with Jesus. And we still there, and we still crying. Other people believe, they got their Jesus, and they went on. We still there, we still crying, and we still trying to figure out, like, but where? And she turns, and right when she was getting ready to give up, the word says she turned away. And right when she was getting ready to give up, somebody appeared. The word tells us that it was Jesus. But she didn't recognize that it was him. That's somebody in here today. You might have came in here and you right at the point where you feel like you're getting ready to give up. And you still saying, well, but I don't see Jesus. He's sending his word. Do y'all know that John 1 says that Jesus is the word? He's sending his word to you right now. But do you recognize that he's talking to you today? Do you recognize that he's tugging on your heartstrings today? That he's using me. He's using me. Oh, broken vessel, he's using me. He's speaking a word through me to get to you. But do you recognize that it's him? Do you recognize that he's talking to you today? Do you recognize that he's calling you by name today? Right in the point when you thought it was over. That he's trying to get to you. I know y'all thought y'all came here for the baby, for the christening. Or well, some of y'all just came because it's Easter, and that's what we do, Easter and Christmas. That's what we do, Easter and Christmas. I know some of that's what you thought, but no, Jesus is sending a word. He's sending a word to you. And not only did he appear, he began to talk. He says, "Dear woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener. Y'all thought it was Pastor. Y'all thought it was Pastor. Y'all thought it was Jordan Dad. Y'all thought it was Pastor. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out. That's the thing. You don't realize it's Jesus till he call your name. If you're not looking for him to call your name, you're not going to realize that it's him. You got to be listening for your name. I don't care what you came in here for. That ain't the reason that you're here. You are here because he's trying to get your attention. He's calling you by name today. What is going to be your response? Mary's response was "Rabbi," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Don't cling to me." He said, "Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go and find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." 17 means victory. Jesus appeared to Mary. Now, let me make this make sense to y'all. Remember when I was saying, I don't want you to sit there and think that Jesus does not care about your situation. Jesus could have ascended to the Father and then came back. But instead, because he knew that so many people were hurt, so many people were disappointed, so many people were feeling like the Messiah came and he just left us. This thing didn't play out like we thought. We thought he was going to overthrow the Romans. We thought everything was going to change, right? So he could have went up there, sent it to the Father, and then came back. But no, he was like, my daughter hurting right now. She's hurting right now. Let me show myself to her right now, right? But don't get too attached to me. I'm showing myself so that you will be comforted, but don't get too attached because I'm not finished doing what I got to do. I got to go and prepare a place for you. I'm going to reveal myself to you right now through Pastor T, through Minister, through your brothers and sisters that's going to help you. They're going to be my hand. They're going to show you that eyes in. They're going to show you a Christ-like love to make you believe, right? But don't get too attached to them because eventually they are going to leave too. But I, Jesus, the bread of life, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when he come back, when he comes back to get us for eternity, he's never going to leave us. We'll never be away from him again. He tells Mary, don't hold on to me. Don't get too attached because I got to go. My work is not finished yet. But go. Go tell your brothers and your sisters that I'm going to the Father. What is he telling Mary to do? He's saying, go tell your brothers and sisters the good news. When Jesus shows himself to you, then he's telling you, now go tell somebody. Go tell Sister Khadijah. Go tell Brother D. Go tell Sister Esso. Go tell Jaden. Go tell your brothers and sisters that Jesus is alive, that he is risen, and he has gone and ascended to the Father. He has gone to our God. He has fulfilled. He is gone. He's sitting on the right hand. That's the good news, that he didn't leave us. It may seem like he's not here, but he did not leave us. He is gone. He is risen. He is no longer in the tomb. God is not dead. He tells Mary to go tell him. Mary found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. I'm almost done, Tita. She goes and tells him. But I'm standing up here telling y'all I have seen God. I have seen God so many times in my life. I have seen him move so many times in my life. She goes and tells him. She says, she goes and tells the disciples, I have found God. I have seen the Lord. She gave him the message. And then in the 19th verse, the words, they're going to have some presents under the tree. But every child in here, make no mistake about it, they know that those holidays have nothing to do with that. Easter is about Jesus getting up out of that grave, and doing the impossible, giving us a chance at another life, I told y'all last Sunday, 70 years, if you're strong, 80. Easter is about extending them 80 to eternity. Easter is about extending those 80s, those 80 years, if you're strong, to eternity. Doing the impossible. Doing the impossible. Wiping away every tear. Healing every hurt. Justice. Peace, joy unspeakable. That's what he says about. The question is, do you believe? Do you believe? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Y'all come on and give the Lord a hand. Anybody here would love to give their life to the Lord on today? Meaning you want to accept him as your Lord and Savior? And I know the thought. You know, the thought is that I can't give my life to God until I'm all the way right. You miss the purpose of the sermon. Giving your life to the Lord is truly a move. It is a step of faith. It is a step of faith. Like, I don't even, like, you don't even have to understand it all the way. All you have to understand is that what I just preached about Jesus being your Lord and Savior, you just want some of that. I want that. That's what you're saying. I want that. I want the opportunity to live again when I die.